10, Audio Jungle. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
Audio Jungle.
0.
What's up? Welcome to Absolutely Necessary. All three of us in the studio. Jacob, Jackson, Logan. A lot to talk about. So let's just jump right into it. I'd like you guys to explain to me why Mark Sanchez is the perfect signing for the Washington Redskins. Go.
I think it's just simply the fact that he has experience and is the best quarterback out there that showed out in the tryout today. I'm kind of scared for the Redskins, so...
We'll talk about that more later.
Yeah.
All right, well, what are your thoughts on Mark Sanchez?
I think there are a few quarterbacks out there that are a little bit more talented than Mark Sanchez. Notably,
who?
Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, well, yes, but they're not. He's not an option for the Redskins.
I don't know why he's not an option.
Because their owner said before the season they're not signing him. So that's illegitimate that their organization is against signing Colin Kaepernick.
Well,
so
it's
who's better other than Colin Kaepernick? You said there's multiple quarterbacks.
My dad's dad, my dad's dad's dad.
Essentially, I would take Blake Bortles over Mark Sanchez.
Okay, Blake Bortles is signed by a team. I'm talking free agent quarterbacks right now. All right,
whatever. I'm just saying that Mark Sanchez is not
in the boat with Nathan Peterman.
He's not available. He's on a practice squad, I thought.
You can sign up practice squads.
Oh, no. He worked out with the Patriots. I don't know if you guys saw that, but Nathan Peterman worked out with the Patriots.
He did.
And I think that would be one of the greatest moves of all time if Belichick signs Peterman and Peterman becomes the next Brady. You know how awesome that would be? How savage
Peterman,
that would be?
What if he signed him and then Peterman became the next Belichick?
Why would Bill Belichick sign...
Because after Bill Belichick retires,
the worst
Peterman.
Starting quarterback in modern day history to become his next replacement head coach.
You know, they say opposites attract.
That is true. We are friends. So... Before we get into more relevant, realistic sports discussion today, I want to explain to all three of you listening what our plan is with the show. We've been busy over the last couple of weeks. College does that to people. We apologize. So we're going to do one episode this week. It'll be this episode, and then we'll all go home. Turkey Day, Thanksgiving. Spend some time with some family.
Watch some football.
Yep, that's true. Maybe some soccer. I don't know. My Thanksgiving might be a little different than your guys's. But then we'll be back this next week, and we'll start doing more regular shows from there. At least two or three a week. We'll try our best. Just work with us. Again, college students, we got a lot going on. Mm-hmm. So we'll take this moment now to wish everybody listening a happy Thanksgiving. And I want to go around. Guys, what are you thankful for? We'll start with Jackson. Jackson, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful that I'm in college and I'm thriving. Not as much as I would hope, but I am situated in college enough to a point where I can have a podcast with you guys.
Jacob, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for friends and family, most of all my family and my siblings, especially my sister, who I talk to a lot and has helped me a lot through my Crohn's disease in my life, which is not funny, Jackson.
That.
It's a serious
no,
thing,
that.
Actually, because I have a chronic disease.
I hear that.
Which you guys may think is funny since Jackson makes a lot of jokes about it, but it's actually a real thing that I have. And if you guys want to send in any submissions to jacobmasek1@gmail.com, we would love to have you on this podcast to talk about any struggles or just sports that you have in your life.
Are you possibly referring to Crohn's Corner, the segment of the show that you made up to kind of make fun of your own disease?
See, that was not to make fun of my own disease. That was to open it up for me being willing to talk about something that is actually very hard for me to encounter. It can let other people talk about things that may be funny but are also embarrassing to them.
All right, that's fair. I appreciate you explaining why that exists because we all know it's my favorite part of the show. I am very thankful for three of the four Shrek movies. I'm very thankful that John Elway won the Broncos 2 Super Bowls as a quarterback and 1 as a GM.
Soon to be
5 more
record.
To come, baby. Yeah, five more to come.
Case Keenum.
And I am very thankful for my family and my friends and my college family and my college friends. College. All right, let's move on. we're going to recap a few games this weekend. We're going to focus on especially 3 games that I picked out with storylines I thought were interesting. And we'll start with one that we touched on a little with Mark Sanchez, Redskins-Texans. Obviously, the Mark Sanchez news coming after Alex Smith's gruesome injury just made me kind of queasy to look at. But I want to ask you guys, less so about the game, maybe your thoughts on the game, but how this injury impacts the Redskins, not just this season, but maybe future seasons.
So we talk about Joe Theismann having this injury on the same exact day, and the game ended in the same exact score as in that game, which is just kind of weird that he was standing on the sideline during that injury, and he had that exact injury. But 33 years ago, that was a career-ending injury. I think Alex Smith will be back. Now, I don't know how good he will be, and I know medicine these days is a lot more advanced than it was 33 years ago in terms of surgeries and those types of things. How it impacts them presently, this could be a season ender for them. They got a good offensive line. They might be able to protect Colt McCoy, but Colt McCoy definitely doesn't have the decision-making that Alex Smith has, so this is going to be difficult.
Jumping in here, I actually had the opportunity to meet Colt McCoy a couple of months ago and talk to him for a little bit. I think Colt McCoy is an amazing person, and I think he was a great quarterback at the University of Texas. However, I don't think he's the quarterback that leads teams to the playoffs. Right now, the Redskins are game up in that division at 6-4, but it's wide open now. They're going to get below replacement-level quarterback play. The Cowboys are right on their tail. You'd expect at some point the Eagles decide to ditch the Super Bowl hangover and show up at some point. And I don't think at this point, you can really discount the Giants when they've played some decent football. They've won 2 in a row. Is it really all that unrealistic to say that the Redskins may end up the bottom team in the NFC East after this season? I don't know that. I feel awful for Alex Smith and the Redskins organization, but I don't think they're making the playoffs, let alone winning that division now after this injury. Jackson?
Yeah, no, it was in question, even when Alex Smith was healthy, whether or not this Washington Redskins team would be able to keep going at all the cylinders that they've been going at with being in the division. Just the Redskins being the definition of mediocrity. I don't know if you guys saw the stats about a few weeks ago, but they were at a point in the season where, like, their record of the past 10 years had equal wins and losses. Like, they literally were the definition of mediocrity. So
that's actually average. It's 500.
It's mediocre.
Mediocre
is not a word.
Yep.
It's mediocre, not mediocre.
Yep, I would argue that that's not, but you continue.
But looking at this Redskins team now with Colt McCoy being in the quarterback, no disrespect to him, he may be a very good person, but I don't think that he has the potential to, win games for this team. Even with the outstanding offensive line and Adrian Peterson coming out of his end-of-career funk that he had with the Saints, I just don't think it'll be enough for the Redskins to sustain what they have going, and I think that they'll...
I'm sorry, did you say Adrian Peterson coming out of his career funk?
He said his end-of-career funk. Peterson, the last 2 seasons before this, was very down. Very down. Okay. Not up to his standards. And he's somewhat returned.
That was his fault. He just wasn't being used at all. The Saints had 2 excellent running backs. They didn't play him.
Funk's still a funk, dude.
He sat on the sideline.
Funk's still a funk.
It's not a funk. I don't believe Adrian Peterson was inept as a running back. I just believe he wasn't used.
You didn't say that.
I wasn't saying that at all. I'm just saying that he was digressing, and then he went to this Redskins organization, and he's been thriving since so far.
So do you think that Adrian Peterson can get even more of a workload and the Redskins can maintain?
I doubt it, because now defenses are going to be figuring out how to stop Adrian Peterson, because that's been the only part of the offense besides Alex Smith that's been succeeding. So now with Alex Smith out of the picture, defenses can now key in that running back game, because Colt McCoy hasn't shown anything that's deep threats or the IQ that a quarterback will need. So I think defenses will figure out Adrian Peterson. This is that the Washington Redskins are screwed. Bottom line.
I think the Redskins will be able to make the playoffs this year just because of being 7-3. I think
they're 6-4.
6-4, sorry. And they can put together a couple games here at the end of the season. Should we go through their schedule and do a little win-loss thing with Colt McCoy?
Yeah, we can do that.
Assuming Colt McCoy is the quarterback, or...
Or Mark Sanchez.
Or Colin Kaepernick.
You literally just said to me that they weren't going to take him up. You
know, all right, we'll do it. We'll do it with Colt
three
McCoy.
Three games in a row changes your mind.
We'll do it with Colt McCoy.
Okay, yep.
Thursday night, Thanksgiving night, they play Dallas.
They will win that game.
They'll lose that game.
They'll lose that game.
Cowboys won't be able to stop the rushing attack.
That'll put them tied. If they lose that game, by the way, that'll put them tied with Dallas up top of the division.
Okay.
Next weekend, excuse me, they play that game in Dallas too. I didn't know if that changes your...
No. Nope.
Okay. Next week they play Monday Night Football, or the next week after Thanksgiving, they play that in Philadelphia against the Eagles.
That's a loss.
That's a loss.
I think that's a loss too. Then the night, December 9th, they go into New York to play the Giants.
They win.
They win.
I'll give them a loss there. Week 15, they play Jacksonville.
They win that, too.
That's a loss.
I say they win. December 22nd, at Tennessee.
They win again.
They lose.
Tennessee, they lose.
And then they end the season week 17 against Philadelphia.
They lose again. They lose two games to the Eagles for the rest of the season. They go 4-2. They make the playoffs.
I say they're winning the Jacksonville game and maybe the New York game, but I'm only going to pick the Jacksonville game.
What record does that put them at?
If they did what? My thing?
That's 8-8.
That would be 8-8 by my standards. I have them winning one game out, which would be 7-9.
Oh, I have them going more than that. I have them losing two games, which would mean they're...
If you have them losing two games, that would put them at 10-6.
10-6, correct, yes.
I don't think... I wouldn't take the odds on them going 10-6.
I think they're
going to
beat the Cowboys. Why don't you think they're going to beat the Cowboys?
Because I think the Cowboys are just I thought they were a better team. And just now, I think with the injury, you can't compete. Dak Prescott's a better quarterback than Colt McCoy. I'm traditionally more down on Dak Prescott than more people, and I'd still take him over Alex Smith, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I think Dak Prescott's a great quarterback. I don't think that's going to be the difference in this game.
I think the difference
in that
game...
I think this game's going to be ugly, just terribly ugly with a ground game on both sides. I think Elliott will try to punch him in the mouth with the Cowboys' offensive line, and I think the Redskins will send it right back with Peterson. And that's what it's going to be a lot of the game.
I want to pivot just a little bit quick before we move on to another game. Alex Smith is no spring chicken. He is 34 years old. I believe he will be 35 by the beginning of next season. That is correct. And you've got to think he's winding down towards the end of his career. This is his 14th season in the league. Next year will be his 15th. With this injury, and we don't really know how he will recover, it could be career-ending, or it could just be career-altering for him.
Which is big for the Redskins, because right. They have him on that extension, right?
They do. They have him for, I think, 2 more years after this, if I'm correct.
But I thought he signed a 4-year extension.
Then 2 or 3 years. That's...
He's got 3 more years after this year.
I did want to ask you guys what you think the Redskins should do. Should they draft a quarterback in this next draft?
It depends where they land. I don't know. Maybe second round. I wouldn't go for a first round quarterback quite yet.
I think
free agency is a better bet for that type of thing. You could get Taylor coming out, something like that.
I know I, more than you two, have done more look into the NFL draft, looking at players and just with my opinions on it. Mm-hmm. It's outside of Justin Herbert. It's not a good quarterback class.
No.
Maybe Will Greer. I like Will Greer, but I wouldn't take Will Greer in the first round.
Yeah, they don't have any.
So I think if you're going to go for a quarterback, try to maybe pick one up late and see if he can do something. Will Greer is my personal favorite in that second tier I have.
I say free agency,
Herbert's the only... Yeah, if you're not getting Herbert, you're not trying to get a starter.
But see, the thing is, Smith, I think they... I mean, it depends on how he recovers and stuff, but... He'll be the starter next year if he can come back.
That's a big if, though, if he's ready for that season. We don't know how long that's recovery is going to take. That's true. That's
a very ugly injury. Yeah, you might want to sign Tyrod. Might take a 1 year just to prove something and start the first four games and see what he can do or something.
Hey, is Ryan Fitzpatrick a free agent?
I have
Speaking
no idea.
Of Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has just come out, by the way, will be benched in the next game. Jameis Winston has got the starting spot back.
Ridiculous. Jameis Winston's a freak show.
Well, Ryan Fitzpatrick wasn't extremely efficient.
Okay,
in the last game
cool.
Who went to Harvard? Fitzpatrick.
Yeah,
exactly.
Be quiet. Adrian Peterson, I think you start him in fantasy. I'm just going to put that out there. I know you people said if you haven't been starting him this far, you are absolutely dumb.
Way to alienate half the fan base, dude.
Yes, that is correct. Okay, you guys aren't absolutely dumb. You just made a dumb decision. That doesn't define you. We love you. Yes, you need to start Adrian Peterson. I believe he's going to be the workhorse, and no matter what, he's going to get a lot of looks out of the backfield, and I think he'll still average around 10 points a game, so he's a safe bet with a chance to do more.
I want to move on to another game this weekend that caught my eye, which was the Bears and the Vikings. The Chicago Bears easily won this game. I don't know what word I was going to pull out there. I think it was going to pull out handily?
Hammered.
I don't know if handily
is the final word. Score doesn't do it justice, I think is what
the final score does not do it justice. The Bears won this game easily. The Vikings never truly looked in it. So I want to ask you guys about both teams, but we'll start with the Bears. Is this the Bears' division to lose now, the NFC North?
The Bears, with the Vikings being the second team for now, I should say, because the Vikings play the Packers next. The Bears are in excellent position. I think the Bears actually just won this division by winning that game. They have one of the easiest records going forward. Easiest schedules going forward, with the Vikings having the fifth hardest, I believe. That's extremely hard to make up two games with a very easy schedule. And the Bears just look like the superior team. Kirk Cousins doesn't extend plays, and the Bears forced him to do that. The Vikings weren't ready, and what the Vikings needed to do was either run a hurry-up offense to get that pass rush off of them and tired, or the Vikings needed to roll Cousins out, preferably away from the monster that was on the left side named Khalil Mack. May I recommend all of you to watch the video where he throws a 320-pound offensive lineman with his one hand.
Dude's a freak.
Yes, he's a monster. The Bears are in complete control, and I think they will win this division because of this win.
All right. Jackson?
Yeah, no, the Bears showed that their offense, as well as their defense, are an efficient machine. I mean, looking down, the Vikings couldn't do anything about Mitchell Trubisky passing it out.
Running.
So I don't know what else to say except the Vikings need to find an identity and they need to stick with it. They need Kirk Cousins to take a leadership role, and they need to find a way that they can diversify their play set more.
On that Kirk Cousins note.
Can I ask you to get into it when we talk about Minnesota?
Well, we are talking about Minnesota.
We'll talk about Minnesota more in a little bit. I want to focus more on the Bears right now.
Oh, okay.
Is their defense the best in football right now? I mean, their defense is very good, and we are in not just an explosive year for offenses, but kind of a down year for defenses in a sense. There's no real standout elite defense. You're not running into a 2015 Broncos, an early 2000 Ravens. You're not running into Bears defenses, the steel curtains of the past. You're not seeing those kinds of teams anymore. So I just want to – are the Bears the best defense in the NFL right now? But is that really – stack up comparatively against history? They're not an all-time defense.
I'd say no. And I'd say their pass rush is the best in the NFL across the board, just a complete defensive tackle to defensive ends. Probably not statistically, but I just say of the matchups it gives the opponent to have to deal with, it's a nightmare for those type of games. You just have to come in with a different strategy. The best defense in football, I would say, is the Baltimore Ravens. Because I think they have a complete overall, it's hard to punch them in the mouth and get away with it. I mean, that game that they won this weekend was a lot on the defensive end that they put out there. They got 3 stops, I believe, in the fourth quarter that were extremely big that allowed Lamar Jackson to get back on the field and do what he does best.
It's like a funeral in here right now. I'm not going to lie. We're kind of low on energy, so I'm going to try to liven it up by asking a funny question.
Jumping jacks, everybody.
Stop that. I want to ask you a very important question. A very important sports question. Does Mitchell Trubisky sound like the most pretentious name in sports?
That was a good word, pretentious.
Like, when you hear the word Mitchell Trubisky, or the words, the name, it just sounds like the kind of kid that when he gets like...
Grayson Allen.
His name sounds like the name of a kid who gets pulled over by a cop and, like, immediately as soon as he gets the ticket goes, "Do you know who my father is?"
True.
That's just... it. And Mitchell Trubisky, I'm sure, is a great person and a great quarterback. I don't want to diss him personally, and it's not a personal thing. It's just when you hear that name, you're like, okay, that just sounds pretentious.
Mitchell.
Maybe... I think it'd be better Mitch. If it was
it's
Mitch.
Like, it's like Grayson Allen.
It maybe be. I think it'd be better if it was Mitch. I don't like how it's Mitchell.
Oh, he kind of. That's what he goes by.
I know. Like he, when he came in the league, he said he wanted to go by Mitchell. It just sounds pretentious. Mitchell. All right. Let's talk about the Vikings, because the Vikings did not look good in this game and have had games where they really have not looked good this year. Control your anger. Control your anger. Make reasonable points.
Okay, all right. Kirk Cousins, give me your thoughts on the Vikings. Is not worth the contract that we gave him. I've said I would rather sign Case Keenum than have given him this contract. Even when this contract happened, it's way too much guaranteed, and we're locked down. We're locked. No one's going to take a trade. No one's going to take a trade. It's way too much guaranteed money. This guy is not a mobile quarterback in the age of these pass rushers who are going to get in there. The best players are like a Russell Wilson who can go in there and make plays, or you need to build an amazing offensive line. And still right now, guys are getting sacked a decent amount. The one person in the league I would say is the team I told you to watch out for last week is the Colts, because they're keeping people off their quarterback, and they're the one team that's like doing it like at an extremely good rate right now. I mean, Andrew Luck hasn't taken a sack in 5 weeks.
That would have been unheard of from a Colts team last year, even.
Kirk Cousins, I mean, I don't know. I just don't think he's going to be as successful in Minnesota as people think. I don't think they can win unless they run a very fast-paced, hurry-up offense with this offensive line, or they roll the quarterback out like they kind of did with Case Keenum on a lot of play actions and try to establish the run game more. Other than that, they got bottled up. Plus, I believe they only gave Cook like 9 rushes, I believe, for 12 yards. Just a pretty bad rushing attack. I mean, not even pretty bad. That's just like he got to the line of scrimmage and fell forward for 1 yard a couple times.
Yeah, I think that's their biggest issue. It's not Kirk Cousins deep. There's a lot of different things contributing to the struggles that the Vikings are having right now. I would say it's their lack of establishing a running game is more detrimental to that team than Kirk Cousins. And part of that is their O-line that hasn't been performing up to par. But I don't think you freak out if you're the Vikings.
I'd rather have the Vikings have drafted Lamar Jackson with the third trade for the 32nd pick than sign Kirk Cousins.
Absolutely
No.
That's my hot take.
No.
Lamar Jackson, like I said, Lamar Jackson's going to end up being the second best quarterback in the draft this year, second to the GOAT, Baker Mayfield. Lamar Jackson is ready to go right away, and he would have been a much more mobile quarterback. We could have rolled him out, and with great receivers like Thielen and Diggs that give you an opportunity to throw the ball where they will catch it and the defender doesn't have a chance to, they can help him when he extends plays, and I think this would have been a great fit for him.
Lamar Jackson is not a deep threat as a quarterback. He's a rushing quarterback who shoves 5-yard passes down the line.
Dude,
that's the quarterback
he
is.
17 for, like, 19.
I'll look up his stat line, but that was one of the last things I wanted to talk about was Lamar Jackson, who made his first start this weekend in replacement of Joe Flacco and looked decent?
Very good, actually. Looked very good. And I don't agree with the 5-yard throws because he threw a lot more downfield than I expected him to do in that game. It's his first game as a rookie quarterback. They eased him into it. You forget just because it's like later in the season here, this was his first game in NFL action against a Bengals defense that is not terrible yet. So you have to be careful. You don't want him to start just gunslinging right away. They're going to be ready for those kind of throws and try to make them mistakes and get him down.
Lamar Jackson's stat line on the day, passing, he was 13 of 19 mm-hmm. for 150 yards, threw one interception, zero touchdowns. His total QBR was a 35.3. Rushing, he had 27 carries for 117 yards.
Correct.
I think it's he also had a fumble that was recovered by the Ravens, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, after this game, too early to say for certain that Lamar Jackson...
Well, he hasn't thrown enough to see. Plus, 27 rushes. Like Marvin Lewis said after the game, that's not happening
that's
again.
That's what I wanted to say. I don't think that's sustainable.
Yeah,
like,
well, you're Marvin Lewis. You should coach the Bengals.
I could coach the Bengals as long as I hid in my office so the owners wouldn't know where to find me and fire me.
Oh, that's true.
Because I think that's why Marvin Lewis still has that job. But I just... Lamar Jackson, what he did, it was a very good first game. It was a interesting offense to watch the way the Bengals ran that offense. But I don't... That's not sustainable. What he did is not sustainable. He's not going to be able to do that every game for the rest of this year. That's not happening. If he wants to be... I mean, if we want Lamar Jackson to be an NFL quarterback, he's going to have to prove that he can make the throws. And he was accurate, but he didn't prove that he can make any kind of throws. Except for 5-yard dinks, like Jackson said. You got any other thoughts on that? Please?
I mean, Lamar Jackson's going to have to learn how to throw to his receivers. And he's going to have to make himself less predictable. Because coming out of the draft, he was telling teams, I'm a quarterback. I'm not a running back or a running back. And what I saw yesterday, that is definitely a running back that I saw. That was not a throw-first quarterback. 27 rushes. He rushed more times than he passed. And you're telling me that he's going to be a liable option for the Ravens or even the Vikings.
Who's got a better arm, Joe Flacco or Lamar Jackson?
Joe Flacco.
Better arm in terms of, like, downfield?
Who's got a better arm?
Joe Flacco.
You mean in terms of, like, how far they can
throw the ball?
Lamar Jackson. Definitely.
Joe Flacco.
No. Joe Flacco has had accuracy issues.
Kirk Cousins or Lamar Jackson?
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins.
Who's got a better arm? Mohamed Sanu or Lamar Jackson?
In terms of how far he can throw it down the field?
Have you seen Sanu throw?
No.
Sanu's a passer, dude.
What are you saying when you say arm? Because it sounds like you're saying how far they can throw it down the field.
I'm referring to who has more arm talent as a quarterback.
Arm talent. So that would mean accuracy is involved, too. Yes, Lamar Jackson is much better.
I once saw Sanu throw one like 40 yards
out of bounds.
Go look at Mohamed Sanu's career passing stats. That dude, that's going to be like an underlying thing, and he retires, and that's going to be something
we look back at.
And we're like, that's kind of crazy that existed. Like, that was really cool. Next year, do you think Lamar Jackson's the starting quarterback of the Ravens?
Yes.
Depends how he does for the rest of the season.
You think he's going to start again this
year? Who do you think is... What's the more likely scenario going into training camp next year? We're talking about how this is Lamar Jackson's time, Lamar Jackson's team, or we're talking about the uninspired move to bring back Joe Flacco to start for a Ravens organization. 5, 4, 3
They'll go with Lamar Jackson.
Ooh. Thank you.
I would say it's more likely that Joe Flacco's back, but that's just because I don't know if they're going to, one, get out of his contract, and two, I feel like Harbaugh likes him a lot. I think it's more likely that he returns if Harbaugh gets fired. But I don't think Harbaugh's going to get fired. So, and then just going back to the Vikings real quick, do you think... I think, in my opinion, Kirk Cousins was overpaid, but that's the rate that you're going to have to pay for an NFL quarterback. It just so happens that he has a fully guaranteed contract. But, I mean, he's not the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. he's not being... I mean, he's just paid fully guaranteed is the problem. So it was an overpay, but if you're a team like the Vikings, that's a necessary overpay to try to...
I don't believe it's necessary overpay.
Who do you think we could have gotten that would have put us...
Would you...
Lamar Jackson.
No.
No, I would rather have...
Traded up for Baker Mayfield.
No!
I would rather have Kirk Cousins than Lamar Jackson or any three of the quarterbacks that were on that roster last year.
Oh, my gosh. I can't... Oh my God.
We've already determined in a segment that dragged
I was thinking during the offseason for the Vikings. I was thinking they should have thrown a very huge contract at Drew Brees to just throw it out there. If Drew Brees is going to sign, we'll take him.
There's no way Drew Brees is leaving.
Okay, I don't care. Throw a contract. And then we had Case Cam was out there, obviously. AJ McCarron. Teddy B. I would much rather have re-signed Teddy Bridgewater than sign Kirk Cousins.
No.
Yes.
No.
100%.
Oh.
That's not what you were saying at the time, I'm sure.
Teddy? Yes, I wanted Teddy back in the Minnesota uniform.
But is that because Teddy's so good or because nostalgia? Is that because Teddy was so good or is it
because
nostalgia?
Yes, I like Teddy as a quarterback.
You like Teddy more than you like Kirk Cousins.
So you're saying that Teddy Bridgewater would have brought more success than Kirk Cousins has?
We had this discussion.
Yes.
We already have decided that Kirk Cousins was a better quarterback than Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, no, we didn't. Because I said no.
Oh.
You did not say no, I don't think. We'll go back and check it later.
Well, if we're playing in this age, now that the league we've shown it has developed into a pass rushers league, Teddy Bridgewater is better at this point than this guy, than this 30-year-old quarterback who's going to play for the freaking Minnesota Vikings for two more seasons after this, and we're going to be absolute...
Did you just say it's a pass rushers league and then say, because it's a pass rushers league, I'd rather have Teddy Bridgewater?
Yes, a more mobile quarterback.
Okay. Your point got lost in there for me, but now I can see it. Let's move on to talk about one of the last... things for the NFL, and we're going to talk about Chiefs-Rams. We're going to do a little preview for that. I'm going to ask for game predictions, but I want to do a little game with it first, which I'm going to call position player pickoff. I've got the position players on offense for each team. I am going to give you guys your options here. I will not be including Cooper Kupp for the Rams. Cooper Kupp is injured. I feel like it's unfair to take that or take him and put it in this equation. So there's five categories. I've got a quarterbacks, running backs, two wide receivers, and the tight ends. I'm going to ask you guys to pick who you would rather build your team around at that position right now, and then give me a reason why. So let's start with the most controversial one, which is the tight ends. Would you rather have Gerald Everett or Travis Kelce?
That's a tough one.
You're right. So many...
Gerald Everett.
I'm going with Travis Kelce. Of reasons that we've already seen.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know why you'd do that. Seems to me...
Actually,
I think Gerald Everett's pretty good, honestly.
I'd like to tweak it a little bit.
Okay.
You guys have to pick different ones. So the way it's going to work is I'm going to tell you go. You're going to pick the player you want first, and then you're going to have to make your argument. But I'm not going to pick based on who's better. I'm going to pick on who's made a better argument for each player. So we'll start with the one you guys obviously different here, so I won't make you do it. Jackson, you have Travis Kelce. Jacob, you have Gerald Everett.
You know who Gerald Everett is?
I know who he is. I don't know why you picked him, but go. Jackson, why is Travis Kelce better?
Okay. When you're looking at tight ends who have shown consistent numbers from the past 5 years, you think of a select few. You think of Rob Gronkowski, who's digressed a bit, and you think of Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce has posted, I don't know how many specifically, but he's posted a majority of his games having over 100 yards receiving or a scoring touchdown. Travis Kelce, when Patrick Mahomes was developing, was that safety blanket that when Patrick Mahomes was in distress, he would dump it off to Travis Kelce and he would make something happen. Travis Kelce has shown through the seasons with Alex Smith, shown through the season so far with Patrick Mahomes, that he is still a reliable tight end, even when he's getting a little bit older here. He doesn't get injured. And he consistently grabs clutch catches. that are needed to keep drives alive. And that's the type of player that you want on a team who you can, okay, this is a third down and five situation. I need a quick first down. Where's Travis Kelce? That's the type of player I want on my team, and that's why I'm picking him as my...
You know what? I rescind my point. I think Jackson's argument is better than the argument I would have supposed, so I'm not going to waste your time.
I don't... Thank you, Jackson. Yeah, you definitely should not waste my time trying to argue Gerald Everett, who I think is a decent tight end, but the Rams do kind of alternate their tight ends for a bit, so it's hard to make a clear decision on who would be better. With that, Jimmy Graham. Sorry, we got a notification and I couldn't read it. Jimmy Graham will be playing through an injury. So I think that's kind of interesting. Do you think he's better or worse? Does it matter for that Packers team? I don't know how much it matters at the end of the day. He hasn't been putting up huge numbers for that team this year. Let's go on then to our next position player, which is the first of the two wide receivers. We'll start with the premier ones. Brandon Cooks versus Tyreek Hill. Who would you rather have? Go.
Tyreek Hill.
I'm going to give it to Jacob. Jackson, you have Brandon Cooks. That's a solid argument to make. We'll start with Jacob this time. Argue for me, why would you rather have Tyreek Hill?
Easy. Tyreek Hill is threatening on all components of the game a wide receiver is required to do. With explosive speed, he's a dynamic threat, whether that's coming out of the backfield or just route running. He's worked extremely hard on his route running since last year. He's gotten extremely good at his cuts. His jump cuts are extremely good, and he can change directions very quickly. He's been extremely good this year at cutting across the field, getting those drag routes and making them for more yards. And I think Tyreek Hill supplies your offense with just a threat at all times to make a 70-yard touchdown. This guy breaks the first tackle like 70% of the time, and he's out there giving it all at all times. You can use him in almost any situation an offense could want, and I think he's just a dynamic, versatile threat that the offense, a very key asset.
All right, Jackson, you have Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks is a player who has the downfield speed that makes him a deep threat. Each team needs a deep threat in their team. He may not be the guy you dump off a pass to and he runs 70 yards on a screen pass, but he's the type of player when you're on the 20-yard line and you need a Hail Mary pass or a pass that includes something you need to get in a field goal position, he gives you a quick double move, double take, and he's down the field already beating the cornerback. He has that over-the-top speed that sets him apart from so many different wide receivers in this right now. He is getting a little bit older, but that just makes him more experienced. He knows how cornerbacks work. He knows the type of things that a veteran needs to know to succeed. How do you think Larry Fitzgerald succeeded in this league so much? Look at all these veteran wide receivers that are playing right now, and they're still succeeding because they still have the mentality of, oh, if I do this, I can do this. And Brandon Cooks has the speed still to make himself even more dynamic than he already has. For me, I'm taking Brandon Cooks because of the fact that I can have a slot receiver doing those middle routes while I can have Brandon Cooks going deep. There's two options there.
Wait, I'm sorry. You just described him as a poor man's Tyreek Hill. You just described him as not being dynamic, but he can do some of the things Tyreek Hill can. Is that why you said Tyreek Hill at the beginning?
Well,
you said he's so
practical. I don't want to make him cave like a house of cards like you did on Gerald Everett. But I want you guys to make more of a point.
I'm just making an argument of Brandon Cooks.
Devil's advocate.
I want you guys to make a little bit of a different point here. I still want to hear different arguments because you both mentioned their speed, but I didn't get much of an impression of why one is better than the other. Like,
oh, just it's because easy. One I said dynamic and versatile and can be used in a threat in any part of the offense.
Brandon Cooks is dynamic as
well. No, Brandon Cooks is definitely not as versatile and dynamic and cannot be used in all the same ways Tyreek Hill
can. That's because he's older. He has the leadership portion that Tyreek Hill doesn't even have.
Brandon Cooks is 25.
Extremely good leader. He's only a year older. For the game.
Brandon Cooks is only a year older than Tyreek Hill is.
Okay, but Brandon Cooks has been in this league longer than Tyreek Hill.
5 years to two.
Yes.
Three, yep. Excuse me.
So why don't you think Tyreek Hill is a great leader? He's out there, he runs on every single play. This dude's never taking plays off. Okay. He's out there running every
play. But he doesn't have that leadership role that Brandon Cooks
has. Oh my gosh, leadership role?
That's
what
important.
What do you mean by leadership role?
Leadership role, it means that he boosts them around.
How is Brandon Cooks the leadership role? Jared Goff is the leadership role of that offense.
There's more than one leadership role in that
and
team.
And Ty Gurley's the other captain.
Okay, but there can be more than one, Jake.
Okay, Tyreek Hill is a leadership role, too. Every game.
It's not as good as Brandon
every
Cooks,
game,
though.
He's doing the pregame
the
for the wide receivers and focusing them up for the game.
Brandon Cooks has more experience
Robert Woods.
And knows how to play
Robert
this
Woods
league.
Does the pregame for the Rams wide receivers. Not Brandon Cooks.
Okay. Because there's someone already there doing the thing. Brandon Cooks knows how.
That's
whatever.
What they
I'm just
say.
Saying experience matters. And Tyreek Hill doesn't have it.
Okay, okay.
He has the,
natural-born
talent.
Okay, let me see here.
But he has not the experience. Okay. You want to play this game?
So, Eli Manning has experience. So, what? I should choose Eli Manning over Teddy Bridgewater because experience matters more.
He does have a good point there.
Eli Manning's also won two Super Bowls, and Teddy Bridgewater...
Do I want Myles Garrett, or do I want the 43-year-old dude on the Panthers' offensive line at the defensive tackle?
Who?
I don't
that?
Know. I
mean,
don't care. I'm
Julius,
just saying. I'm giving an example.
Julius
not him.
Peppers?
He's amazing. I'm saying the difference is Myles Garrett doesn't have as much experience, but I would take him in a heartbeat
if you're a
over
team that needs,
all of them.
If you're a team that needs leadership, I would not take Tyreek Hill. I would take Brandon Cooks. If you need leadership, if you're needing a wide receiver,
Jackson Baker Mayfield is the leader of the Browns and
he's
a rookie.
Because there's no one else there.
Let's move on. Let's move on from these leadership aspects, which are important. But I need you guys to argue skill. I need somebody to prove to me why one wide receiver is more talented than the other.
I've already said.
Yeah, you told me that he's a.
Did you see him when he was playing with Drew Brees?
Who?
Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks.
Yes.
Okay. You're telling me he was not dynamic and versatile in that time.
I'm saying he was not dynamic coming out of the backfield or out of screens and stuff.
But did
like
he
that.
Make plays? Did he make plays that changed the game?
Oh my gosh, he was playing with freaking Drew Brees. Yes, he did. I'm not saying.
And Tyreek Hill's playing with freaking Patrick Mahomes.
Stop. I'm not saying Brandon Cooks is a bad wide receiver. I'm saying Tyreek Hill's better. You're making the argument that I'm saying Brandon Cooks is a terrible wide receiver. By no means. If he's worse than Tyreek Hill, is he one of the worst receivers in the league? Tyreek Hill is one of the top 10 wide receivers in the NFL. Brandon Cooks is not. So therefore, Tyreek Hill is better. Because Tyreek Hill can include plays where they can dump it off to him, and he can do a lot more than Brandon Cooks when he has the football in his hand. He's
you're
a much
about
bigger threat. He's
talking
way
about right
more
now.
Elusiveness than Brandon Cooks has.
How did he get so many touchdowns on the deep threat when he was in the Saints? How many touchdowns did he get the Patriots? How many touchdowns does he have now
Jackson,
with the Rams?
Jackson. I'm talking about Tyreek Hill's ability to make plays himself without the quarterback throwing deep balls. You're saying Drew Brees is throwing a ball to Brandon Cooks, which Brandon Cooks is blowing by people with his speed. I'm not saying Brandon Cooks can't blow by people with his speed. That's a viable point. Yes, Brandon Cooks is very fast, and he can get by people like that the same way Tyreek Hill can. But I'm saying Tyreek Hill has something he doesn't, and that's why he's better.
Jackson, I'm going to let you make your closing argument here. Just like a short closing argument before I make a decision. Unless you have nothing to say.
I have nothing to say.
All right. I'm going to point a stat that I think is interesting. If you look at catch percentage, which is your receptions divided by the targets you get, Brandon Cooks actually has, in most years, a better career catching percentage than Tyreek Hill does.
Well, Tyreek Hill's only played 2 years.
So experience does matter. So experience does matter.
No, I'm just
that's
saying.
Not what he's saying. What he's saying. Well, Tyreek Hill has played 3 years in the league. Brandon Cooks has played 5. And outside of an anomaly year last year with New England, which I think is more Tom Brady's inability to... At this point, Tom Brady's not the best long ball thrower in the NFL, which is what Cooks' best routes are. Cooks is a good deep threat. So I'm going to discount that one a little bit. But off the arguments, I am going to give it to Jacob with Tyreek Hill. I think he did point out how he's versatile, but he also managed to point out more articulately how he can impact an offense than Brandon Cooks, which is, again, not to say that Brandon Cooks is a bad wide receiver. We're going to go on to the second wide receivers right here. It's Robert Woods versus Sammy Watkins. Who you got? Go.
Robert Woods.
Jackson's got Robert Woods. Jacob's got Sammy Watkins. All right. 3-2-1. Argue.
Oh, Jackson, you won.
Okay. Let me just pull up his stats real quick so I have a little bit of a analysis here. Okay. So Robert Woods, this year, has been the definition of consistency. He's not the most fast wide receiver, but he knows how to catch the ball. He's averaged about 5 receptions a game and averaging 80 yards or more each game. That's very, very, very good for a wide receiver one. Especially for a young quarterback with Jared Goff, with a dynamic offense as they do with Todd Gurley in the backfield. Taking all those out of the equation, Robert Woods knows how to catch the ball. He knows how to make those elements of catches, like kind of like Travis Kelce. He's a guy who can dump off the ball too, and he'll get a good 10, 15 yards off of it almost every time. So for Robert Woods, he's shown that he is a veteran, and he has the experience. He did play for Buffalo, I believe, the majority of his career.
He played for Buffalo for the first 4 years of his career, and then has went to Los Angeles in 2017. Sammy Watkins played the first 3 years of his career in Buffalo, all of them actually beside Robert Woods, and then went to Los Angeles last year, so a little bit of a comb coming for him in this next game, and then went to Kansas City in the offseason.
And even when he was in Buffalo, he had the consistency. Like, he was never, he was a slightly above average, I would say, with wide receivers. He was very underrated, I believe, in Buffalo, as he was overshadowed by the rookie of Sammy Watkins. So when I'm looking at long-term, Robert Woods has been able to consistently put up numbers to help his team win games. I'm going to take, again, I think experience is a big part of how a wide receiver succeeds in this league. And I'm going to have to go with Robert Woods because he's been doing this for a while. He's never really had that down of a year, considering volume-wise. So I'm going to have to go with Robert Woods in this situation.
All right, let me just begin by saying the Buffalo Bills had Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods in 2015, and they did not do a lot with that, which
gonna,
is kind
I'm
of amazing.
I'm not
going
to blame them for that. I'm going to blame Rex Ryan.
0.33 receiving yards per game, and Robert Woods has 0.3. Sammy Watkins has scored more touchdowns per game this season than Robert Woods. See, here's what I would say about Sammy Watkins. They have 3 pass catchers that are ahead of him in target share, and that's 4, actually. Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Demetrius Harris. Obviously, I can't bring Albert Wilson into this.
Albert Wilson plays on the Miami Dolphins.
No, Albert Wilson's on the IR.
But he wasn't on the Chiefs.
Which, you didn't let me finish my point.
Sorry.
I can't bring Albert Wilson in because last year he was the starter and now he's not anymore. But I would bring him in as having more targets than Sammy Watkins. But Sammy Watkins is the 5th most in target share so far this season. I would just say that he's underused in their offense, and I wouldn't say that's a problem for them. I'm not suggesting it's a problem. They have plenty of threats on the Chiefs' offense. I would just say for the amount of share he gets, he's incredibly efficient with what he gets with 515 receiving yards this season, which is he might make it to 1,000 yards this year, which is a very good season for a wide receiver. I would say Sammy Watkins, for the target share he gets, is a very good wide receiver. And I'm a huge Robert Woods fan, so I'm going to have to play a devil's advocate here. I think Sammy Watkins is more versatile in an offense and can be used that way. And I'd say this year he's been hampered by injuries. He's had a lot of injuries throughout his career, including a lot of hamstring issues and concussion, for that matter. He had a couple concussions. I'd say Sammy Watkins is more versatile in an offense where you can use him both ways, in going deep and extremely big threat, just getting him the ball when he has the ball in his hands.
All right, I'm going to need you guys to make another round here. So just, we'll go with Jackson, I want you to try to poke holes in Sammy Watkins, and then Jacob, I want you to try to poke holes in Robert Woods.
I can't poke holes in Robert Woods.
You got to, because they're pretty even for me right now.
No, I see the argument then. Robert Woods is one of my favorite wide receivers in the NFL in terms of efficiency.
Pretend like he wasn't. Just try to poke holes
like,
in Robert Woods.
If Jackson was to bring up the statistical efficiency with the targets he gets to catches, he could easily win this argument.
Well, I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to go with the this year's stats that you've been putting up with me. Robert Woods has is the, would you say he's the number one wide receiver in LA right now?
I think he's listed as the number two, but he and Cooks
he's the number one
very
wide receiver
close
in LA.
On
Cooks is the wide receiver two.
So Robert Cooks, Woods, Kupp, and Woods were healthy, he would be considered number one.
Yes, Cup's three.
I'm going to look up their depth chart, but I'm pretty sure Cooks is listed as number one.
No, they don't have number one. They run a two wide receiver set, so they have them both side by side.
Right, but there's still a wide receiver one and wide receiver
and
two in their
the
depth chart.
The point I was bringing up was that, usage-wise, Robert Woods does lead Sammy Watkins in the majority of statistics. He has 55 receptions, 832 yards, and he averages 15.1 yards each time he gets the ball. Compared to Sammy Watkins, 13.6. He takes advantage of what he's given in a Rams offense who has to feed Todd Gurley and Brandon Cooks and the rest of the offensive weapons there. I think that Robert Woods is showing that when he gets the ball, he's proving to you that he needs the ball in his hands and he wants the ball. So if I'm looking at Sammy Watkins, I'm not going to give the ball to Sammy Watkins if I need a clutch first down. I'm going to give the ball to Robert Woods because Robert Woods has proven to me that he can stay healthy and that he knows how to win those kinds of games.
Okay. We've got different. We both looked up different websites, by the way. I went on like the Rams website.
They didn't have a rating. They just had them both as starting.
So we'll just say, I mean, they run out of two wide receiver sets most of the time anyway, which is true with both teams. We'll just they're
in terms of like fantasy production and overall production.
I'm referring to more in terms of targets. They're even on targets.
Yes, but Robert Woods in terms of production is the better wide receiver so far this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
Jacob, do you have any other points to make here?
I'd say Robert Woods is a beneficiary of an excellent offense with other targets that take a focus off of him. I don't think Robert Woods would be very good if he was in another offense, say like the Bills or something, right now.
He wasn't good or that good when he was in another offense.
So
like
I'd say
the Bills or something.
He is a very good route runner, but I would he's not a, like, if Julio Jones went to the Bills, they just decided to chuck it deep to him, he
this
would at least catch him.
We're talking about Sammy Watkins.
Be quiet. So I would say in that difference, Robert Woods is not a takeover wide receiver. He's not a wide receiver who's going to take over the game. I'd say he benefits a lot from being with the offensive guys he's with. All
right. I think you both make pretty solid points there, but I'm going to lean towards Robert Woods with Jackson. I thought your point, you just made a few better points than Jacob did with Sammy. And I think Sammy is hard to contend because we don't exactly know what he is for sure. He has wide receiver one talent, but he's been injured, and I don't quite know, but I'm going to give it to Jackson either way. Regardless of my opinions, based off quality of argument, Jackson, you're the winner. Two more to go. All right.